to have all you kids here in the front row. Does anybody have a song they want to sing? You can either pick one off here, or if you just know the words to one you like at home, we could sing that one. If anybody has one to get us started? Jesus Loves Me? All right. I think this one's on the back. Number 40, Jesus Loves Me. Maybe somebody could help me with these tunes, getting them going.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so.
Get a hold of that early in your life, that Jesus loves me, that'll help you your whole life long. Because sometimes when you get older, there's times when you're not sure, that, like you were when you were young, if Jesus loves you, but you find as you go on that sure enough, Jesus loves me. All right, who has another one? All right. Number 44, thank you. All right.
Into a tent where a gypsy boy lay, dying alone at the close of the day. News of salvation we carry, said he. Nobody ever has told it to me. Can say
Anybody else have one? All right. Number 32. All right. Thank you.
What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Thank you.
Be born again.
side. Maybe one more. All right. I don't know which one down here. All right. How about you on the end? Number 11. All right. Thank you.
Will your anchor hold in the storms of life? When the clouds unfold their wings of strife, when the strong tides lift and the cables strain, will your anchor lift or firm remain?
I think the verse was in Proverbs 1:10, and I need to look at it again. Let's see here. Proverbs 1:10, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. So if you learn that one or a different one, does anyone want to start? All right.
My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Proverbs 1:10.
Okay, very good. Who'd like to be next? All right.
My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not.
Very good. All right, got one at the end.
My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Proverbs 1:10.
Very good. All right.
My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Proverbs 1:10.
Very good. All right. Okay.
My son, if sinners entice thee, consent them not. Proverbs 1:10.
Very good. All right. You want to say it? All right. Very good.
My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Proverbs 1:10.
Hey, perfect. Anyone on this side want to try it? Oh, very good. All right. My son,
if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Proverbs 1:10.
All right. Good job. Anybody else? All right. Well, very good. Thank you all for being brave. I know it's scary with so many people here. All right. Well, I wanted to tell you guys a story today, and it's not exactly a true story, but it's a story that will hopefully teach us a true lesson. So this story, yeah, it's not from the Bible, but it teaches us a lesson from the Bible. And the lesson that I'm hoping it'll teach us, you listen to this verse here in Psalms, a verse in Psalms chapter 44. Psalms chapter 44 and verse 6. So this is the lesson we're going to hopefully learn today. I will not trust in my bow, neither shall my sword save me, but thou hast saved us from our enemies. Does anyone want to take a guess here? It says, I'm not going to trust my sword, but thou wilt save us. Do you know who it's talking about? Who's the thou? You're right. All right. You were all right at the same time. Yeah. That's the Lord Jesus or God that will save us. All right. Well, I brought a few props today just to help us maybe remember this lesson. All right. So who can tell me what two things we got here? All right. Very good. All right. Sword and a shield. Now, I got another question. Has anyone ever heard of this story called Pilgrim's Progress? All right. Maybe a few people. I think somebody read it to me when I was little, and I didn't get much out of it. I had trouble understanding the story. I liked Sugar Creek Gang and other stories better. But Pilgrim, he's a guy. He grows up in a city called the City of Destruction, and it's full of sinners. And then somebody tells him a story and he wants to go to the celestial city, like heaven. And so along the way, he meets all kinds of different problems and things, but eventually he gets there. Well, I want to tell a story about Christian, and this isn't a story from the book, but it's kind of a story to teach us, I will not trust in my sword or in my bow, but I will trust the Lord. So let's imagine Christian, he's on the pathway of life, all right? He's going to start over here. And he wakes up early in the morning. He's ready for a big day on the pathway of life. In fact, he's in such a rush that he doesn't have time to read this morning his Bible or anything. He's excited to get going, so he has a little bit of breakfast, and he's off on the path of life, all right? So here he goes. He's going down the path of life, kind of a skinny path here. And you know, he's going, and all of a sudden he notices, you know what? It looks like the path of life, it goes all the way down there, then it curves around, and then it starts coming back. But you know what? If I just went through this nice wide area, I could get there a lot faster. I wouldn't have to go all the way around and come back to here. Does that seem like a good idea to you guys? Maybe. Kind of hard to tell, huh? Well, he has a map in his pack, but you guys, you know how it is with maps. Sometimes you take them out and you look at them, and it's hard to figure out where you're even at on the map, especially if you haven't been looking at it along the way. You don't know if you're at this Y or that Y, and you know, maps can be a bit of a pain. And then once you figure out where you're at, you got to figure out which line you're supposed to be going down. And you know, he figures, I can kind of see everything. I can pretty much see that path goes around to here, and I might as well just go through here. It'll be a lot faster. So he's feeling pretty good, and he walks down this nice wide path. And he can see everything around, and it's a beautiful day. There's lots of birds and a blue sky, and he's going down the pathway of life. And he gets to thinking about what it'd be like to own his own castle. Can you imagine? You could have all your servants. You could say, hey, we need to go pick some apples today. And yes, sir, I'll go pick those apples. And yep, he could say, oh, can someone bring the coach around? I want to go somewhere. And here they come. And he's feeling pretty good walking down this pathway. And he starts to come into a canyon. Can anyone tell me what a canyon is? All right. I'm talking about something else, yep. Anybody else have a guess? Well, a canyon, it's kind of like you walk down and there's a rock wall on this side and a rock wall on this side. So he gets down into this canyon, all right. So now he's got a rock wall on this side and a rock wall on this side. And he's walking through the canyon and he's just thinking about his castle. And all of a sudden he comes to a blank wall. You know, there's just a rock wall here. And he said, what in the world? Like, why is there a dead end here? We've got a rock wall on this side, a rock wall on this side, and dead end here. It looked like there was a path here, like a lot of people have come through here. He looks for a tunnel. No, there's no tunnel through. And it's pretty high, not really easy to climb out. So I guess I'm going to have to go back and take the long way around, huh? So he turns around and he starts back out of the canyon and stops in his tracks. You know what he saw? Oh, a dragon. That's close. You know what he sees? He sees a giant in the middle of the path, and that giant's holding the club. And Christian says, uh-oh, I've got myself into a fix here. He says, you know what? I've stuck in this canyon, walls on both sides, and now a giant, and I'm trapped in here. But you know what? Christian, what do you think he should do? Anybody got any guesses? What should he do? Pray. He should. You know what he says I'm going to do? He says, I'm going to fight my way out of here. All right? So he's a brave guy. I'll give him that. And he's got a lot of confidence. You know, sometimes that's good and sometimes not so good. But Christian, he walks right up to that giant. He says, you move out of the way. You think that giant's going to move? No, you're right. That giant's not moving. So Christian, he pulls out his sword. He gets his shield up, and he's ready to face this giant. And he comes up, and the giant lifts up his club, and boom! He gets hit by that giant. Man, that giant's strong. He's never been hit that hard. He goes again, he's trying to hit it. Boom! Oh, the giant's strong, and no way around him. Guess we just got to tough through it, and boom! And now he's down. Uh-oh, Christian's had a fall. You know, that happens sometimes in life when a Christian, he has too much confidence and he's in a place he really shouldn't be in. And then, you know, it's a sad thing, but Christians, they sometimes have a fall. Well, Christian, he's embarrassed and he's ashamed of this fall that he has. But, you know, he gets up with even more confidence. He said, I made a big mistake and I gotta fix it. I'm gonna fight my way out of here. So now he's up against this giant again, and this time he's a little more sober, and he's going at that giant. The giant hits him hard. You know what? He's getting pushed backward. This giant, he's a lot stronger than Christian. He's trying hard. But you know what? This giant's just too strong for him, and he keeps pushing him back. You know, Christian, he fights the best he can, but he keeps going back. He doesn't see this rock behind his foot, and he's down again. Oh, man. And this time it's worse than the first time. Oh, what's he going to do? You know what he does? He finally prays a little bit. He says, Lord, help me. Then he tries to get up again and fight the giant again. This time he's not quite as confident as he was at first. He's a little scared of this giant. It's quite a bit stronger than he thought he was going to be. And so he goes at that giant, and he's a little more cautious now, but he tries to fight it. Boom! He keeps getting hit and keeps backing up a little bit. And he keeps going backwards and backwards, you know. That's the way it can be sometimes in the Christian path. We try to keep fighting. I'm going to read you a little bit about a man that's fighting a giant here. It's a kind of a little story, and it's in Romans 7 here. I'll try to explain it a little bit as I go. Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7 and verse 15. For that which I do I allow not, for what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. Then you go down to verse 19. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil that I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. Well, this is maybe a confusing part of the story, but you know, sometimes when we're little, but a lot of times when we get big, we find there's these giants in our lives and we try to fight them over and over and over again. And you know what? It seems like every time they keep beating us, they keep pushing us back further and further and further. And boy, that can sure be discouraging in a Christian's life to have that experience. You know, Christian, he's really got no choices here but to keep fighting. What else is he going to do? So he gets out, he gets up, and this time he draws a line. I'm going to pull these rugs out a little bit. He draws a line in the dirt. He says, I will not cross this line. I will stand here. I've gone backward too far already, and I'm not going to cross that line. So he's up against that giant again. Going at it. Boom. 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 What's happening? Is he crossing the line or is he not? He's crossing the line, huh? You know, sometimes we try to draw lines and we say, I will go this far, but I'm not going to go further. And then somehow, over time, that giant, he keeps pushing us back and we cross those lines that we weren't going to cross. And you know, Christian, he's fighting, he keeps going backward, and oh, he's down again. Oh man, what a discouraging story, huh? Christian, he's down now and he doesn't feel like getting back up. Why do you think he doesn't feel like getting back up? Yeah, he hasn't prayed, and not only is he tired and hurt, but he's starting to get discouraged. He thinks if I get up, I'm just going to fall again. There's no way I can win. So he doesn't want to get back up, but you know, Christian, he's got a mom that loves him, and he's got a dad that loves him, and they're praying for him because they can see something's wrong. And so the Lord helps him, and he somehow gets up again. And you know what? He tries to fight the giant again. Boom. 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 Is he winning? Is this fight going well? Not too good, huh? Just keeps going backward. Well, I don't want to drag this out too long because this isn't the happy part of the story, but it does happen, unfortunately, in our lives sometimes. So he's backward. And one more time, he's down. And you know what? He thinks of a verse, the just man, he falls seven times and he rises up again. So Christian, he gets up one more time, but you know what? He kind of knows deep down inside that even though he gets back up, he knows this war, he's not going to win it. He's fought his best. He's used all his strength. He can barely swing his sword anymore. And he knows, you know what? This fight's over for me. And finally, here's the back wall of the canyon behind him. He's fighting that giant, but he's not swinging very hard. He's done. And he's back against the wall. And he tries to block the giant's club with his sword, and his hand's too weak, and oh, no more sword. And he's just trying to hide under his shield and just survive. Does he have any options? What do you guys think he should do? He should pray. And that's what he does, finally. And you know, he doesn't just say, you know, Lord, help me. You know what he says? He says something a little different. He says, Lord, save me. Because he's out of options. He doesn't just need help right now. He needs somebody to do all the work. Because he's just totally beat up. So he's hiding there behind his shield, and he just says, Lord, save me. So who thinks the Lord's going to save him, or who thinks the Lord's just going to say, you know what, you went too far? You think the Lord's going to save him? I think you're right. All right. Let's read about it in Psalm chapter 18. So Psalm chapter 18 and verse 5. The sorrows of hell compassed me about, the snares of death prevented me. And then here he calls out, in my distress I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God, and he heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him even into his ears. Then the earth shook and trembled, the foundations of the hills moved and were shaken because he was wroth. There went up a smoke out of his nostrils, and fire out of his mouth devoured. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also, and came down, and darkness was under his feet. He rode upon a cherub and did fly, yea, he did fly upon the wings of the wind. And then verse 13, the Lord also thundered in the heavens, and the highest gave his voice, hailstones and coals of fire. Yea, he sent out his arrows and scattered them. He shot out lightnings and discomfited them. Then the channels of the waters were seen, and the foundations of the world were discovered at thy rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of the breath of thy nostrils. He sent from above, or I like a different translation, it says he reached down from above. He took me. He drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy and from them which hated me, for they were too strong for me. They prevented me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay. He brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. Well, I don't know if you understood the psalm entirely, but you know what happens? You guys know what happens here? You're right. And so Christian, he's there. He doesn't have a sword no more. He's just hiding behind his shield. And that giant, he's just about to finish Christian off. And you know what happens? So Christian prays, and then a lightning bolt comes down. Right in front of the giant. The giant, he doesn't like lightning bolts very well. So he takes a step back. Whoa, what was that? And you know what happens next? Another lightning bolt. The giant, he thinks this is not a good weather day for killing Christian. So he takes off back for his shelter, wherever he came from. And so Christian's left there, and Christian, he's pretty beat up and tired, but you know what? The good shepherd comes. The good shepherd picks Christian up, as he often does, and it says there, he took me to a large place. So the Lord, he picks Christian up, and he takes him to a place where he can rest, nice fruit trees, a quiet stream, good soft grass to lay down. And Christian, he gets some time there to rest and recover his strength. You know, the Lord, oftentimes he knows when we've had all we can take, and he'll pick us up, carry us somewhere where we can recover. So Christian, he has a few weeks, and you know, Christian, he's the same guy, and he looks the same, but something's different inside. You know, he's learned part of our verse here, I won't trust in my sword, I won't trust in my bow, neither will my sword save me. He's learned a good lesson, and that lesson is he's not strong enough to beat the giant. All right. He tried his best, and he tried for quite a long time, and he finally figured out, you know what? I can't beat the giant. I need help that doesn't involve me. All right. Well, that's a good lesson. So he's a quieter person maybe than he was. He's sitting, thinking a lot more than he used to, not running around so much. But you know, he's learned a good lesson. Well, he's there for a few weeks, and he gets stronger. His wounds heal, and it's sunny every day, and it's nice. But you know, one day, he's sitting there under a tree, just thinking, and all of a sudden, a cloud comes over the sun. That's unusual because he hasn't seen it be cloudy here before. And then he looks up, and you know, in the distance, you know what he sees? He's a big guy walking across the orchard. Anybody guess who that is? Big guy with a club. Anybody ever? Yeah, a giant. Oh no, here comes the giant again. Christian, he's not too happy to see that giant again, but you know, that giant was never killed. A giant, the Lord delivered Christian, but that giant's still out there, and here he comes across the field. Well, Christian, you know, he's a different Christian than he was a few weeks ago, and what do you think he's going to do now? You think he's going to rush off and fight the giant? Pray, he does. Yeah, now he's dependent. He looks to the Lord, and he just admits to the Lord, you know what? I know I'm not strong enough to fight that giant. I tried my best last time, and I was not able to win. And so he just has to say to the Lord, Lord, this is your battle, because I'm not strong enough to win this one. All right? So Christian, he just stands under the tree, and here comes a giant. He just waits for the giant to come. And the giant, giant's not afraid. He's just laughing. I beat you once. Oh, you're done now. I'm going to have you on the ground in no time. Ah, ah, ah. Christian, he's just standing there. You know, he's calm inside. He's not afraid because he knows this isn't his battle. All right, so he just stands and he waits for that giant. He says to that giant, he says, yep, you're stronger than me, you're right. And you're right, I can't beat you. But the Lord's on my side this time. So I'm going to win. All right. Giant, he doesn't believe that. He's coming after Christian. So Christian, he just takes one step forward, and you know what? He feels a change. All of a sudden, his sword arm, it almost feels like it already knows what to do. He's hardly swinging it. It's just doing its own thing. And his shield arm and his feet, they're so, he feels so light on his feet, so fast. And he's just... And that giant, he'd never seen anything like that. It's like there's three swords hitting him at once. And he's stepping back, and Christian, he's going forward. And he's just pushing that giant back and back and back. And then finally, giant goes to hit him, and Christian swings his sword and cuts the giant's club right in half. Giant, he'd never seen anything like that, and he's off and running. You know what, Christian, he's as fast on his feet as a deer now, and he's on that giant in a minute. Well, that giant, he should have worn more armor on his back if he was going to run. So he's not doing so good now. And now he's down, and Christian, he's just, ah, ah, ah. You know what? Before very long, that battle's over, and who won? You're right. Let's read about it, because if it's just a story, that doesn't do us much good. But if the Bible says it, then it's worth something. So let's read about it in Psalm 18. And you guys, you listen as I read this, and you tell me whose strength won the battle, all right? This portion, it tells us whose strength won the battle. All right. Psalm chapter 18 and verse 32. It is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet and setteth me upon my high places. He teacheth my hands to war, so that a bow of steel is broken by mine arms. Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy right hand hath holden me up, and thy gentleness hath made me great. Thou hast enlarged my steps under me, that my feet did not slip. I have pursued mine enemies and overtaken them, neither did I turn again till they were consumed. I have wounded them that they were not able to rise, they are fallen under my feet. For thou hast girded me with strength unto the battle. Thou hast subdued under me those that rose against me. Thou hast also given me the necks of mine enemies, that I may destroy them that hate me. So whose strength? Did anyone catch that? All right. God's strength. Yep. That's the difference, you know. Christian, the first time, he was relying on Christian strength. He thought his arms were big enough and he was good enough with his sword that he could take the giant. But this time, he knows he can't take the giant, and sure enough, there's the Lord's strength there to help him. All right, so you think after this battle, you think Christian gives himself a big pat on the back and says, "Yeah, I'm a real giant slayer, aren't I?" No, he doesn't, does he? What do you think he says instead? Yeah, exactly. Yep, thanks to God for helping him win the battle. Let's read one more portion here, and then I'm about done here. Yep, the last few verses of Psalms 18 here. And this is what Christian says when he finally wins the battle. Verse 46, "The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. It is God that avengeth me and subdueth the people under me. He delivereth me from mine enemies. Yea, thou liftest me up above those that rise up against me. Thou hast delivered me from the violent man. Therefore will I give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and sing praises unto thy name." So Christian, he's happy now, and he's thankful to the Lord. He figured out, finally, that it was the Lord that could help him win his battles. So I hope we can learn that here while we're still young. Let the Lord win the battles for us and not try to win them ourselves.